Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Welcome
to Never Never Land.
We're going to bring ghosts from all over the world.
Join us. Be sure to bring your death certificate.
We'll take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlander. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Get a little bit of that happy stuff on you. Throw out that happy thought. Let's fly away to Neverland. And we're not flying alone because, where's Lost Boy Eric? Hello, Eric. All right, so he's not with us again. So we brought some other people with us from Saturday Morning Rewind. We have brought Tim Nidell and Gary Lane. Hello.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going awesome. We're feeling very Halloween-y. Are y'all digging the musical vibes we got going on here?
I must say that intro is remarkable. I love it.
Oh, yes. That took some doing to put that together. I almost used the one from last year, but the last year, had that ghost host guy that kidnapped me and locked me upside down for a month. And I didn't want to relive it, but yeah, his voice is still on there. So
sweet.
So we needed a new intro because we've been having fun this month. For those of you that missed last week, and if you missed last week, where were you? We had, of course, from Disney Indiana, Scott and the Mortis come on, and we talked about some of our favorite Halloween songs. Well, we got their lists, at least, of some top fives. And so we're going to do that again this week. In fact, we're doing it all month. So this week, it's Saturday Morning Rewind. And, of course, make sure you tune in next week to find out who it is next week, which I've already mentioned before, so you probably know. But, of course, before we get into that awesome list to see what Tim and Gary have brought to DJ the Halloween party here in Neverland, there was a trailer released this week, and I don't know, maybe you've heard of this movie before, but it was called Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
I've heard of it, but I didn't get a chance to watch the trailer when it hit yesterday.
Well, you're about to see it now. It's time to take a trip to the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got you in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mama. Oh. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special.
Has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now. Die. Kill it. If you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
Oh, first daughter down.
Come on!
This is not going to go the way you think. For Phil.
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
Star Wars The Last Jedi. They premiered this during Monday Night Football, and it put me immediately to work. And I've posted this up, of course, on our YouTube channel if you haven't seen this before. Also, I have a reaction video with Lost Boy Eric and his kids, which has been a lot of fun. But this, Tim, was your first time getting to see the trailer.
It sure was, yeah. It was, I'm excited for it. I love the visual use of the grays, blacks, and red. That's the first thing that kind of struck me was...
Primary colors.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite colors. So first of all, I'm in. But yeah, it's interesting. They don't, of course, show much because it's the first trailer. And I don't know. What's that little creature that's with Chewbacca?
That's called a porg.
How do you know that?
Because I pay attention. This is for those of us that are complete Disney podcasters. We have to stay up on our Star Wars stuff too. So.
Yes, yeah,
You need to come more to the Disney side. We know you love it, Tim.
I love Star Wars, but I'm not hugely in love with it. You know what I mean? I really enjoy them, but they're still not in my top 30 favorite movies. You know what I mean? But I still love them. I love movies in general, so I still love it, but it's not in my radar as my top favorite. So I don't know everything about it.
Well, we'll forgive you for that. How about you, Gary?
I'm pretty excited for the movie based on this trailer. I wasn't really sure what direction they'd go, and people were saying that there's a pretty big spoiler in the trailer, although I'm not convinced it's actually a spoiler. It looks good, though. The porgs, this is our first time actually getting to see one in action.
See, how do you know what it is?
They're kind of like a weird furry penguin type of creature.
Where did they explain it? Are they in the books or something?
They're actually going to be on the planet there that Luke is on.
No, I mean,
Have already been out. They have like $20. Okay. You can get a big plush. So they have an animatronic little toy you can get. There's also bobbleheads. I've got a bobblehead with Chewbacca holding a porg. They're great.
It's
they're
new cute, to me.
It's a new creature that we haven't seen before. Some people have been kind of already tired of them because they've been popping up everywhere from Entertainment Weekly and everything. Well, but those are probably the same people who hate Ewoks.
Let me say that. Remember, they made a new creature named Jar Jar Binks. So I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah, but the porg apparently doesn't talk. He's just going to react. I love that in this we see Chewbacca give a triumphant roar and the porg follows and tries to copy the roar. I love that.
Yeah.
Let's face it, it's the cutest creature in the galaxy, and Jar Jar wasn't cute.
No, he was not cute. I remember watching that movie in 99, and most of my friends, I say 99% of them loved Jar Jar when it first came out. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's the worst thing in Star Wars history. And if you talk to them now, they'll agree with me. It's the worst thing ever. But talk to them, you know, when it first came out in 99, they loved Jar Jar. And I think it was kind of that way across the board. I think people really did like Jar Jar at first until they realized how stupid he is.
Yeah, after a couple of viewings, he starts to get a bit annoying. Yeah. But the first time, he's funny, and you're really just caught up in the excitement of, gosh, a new Star Wars movie.
The first time, he was
you're
annoying.
So you're very forgiving.
No. He was still annoying the first time.
Well, that's because Star Wars are not in your top 30 movies. So probably one of them Star Trek-only people or something.
No. I like Star Wars better than Star Trek.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, I love movies in general, and there's so many other movies I would rather watch than Star Wars, but I do love Star Wars. Don't get me wrong.
Okay. But this did bring in some questions, and as Gary said, you know, people worry there might have been a spoiler, because the way they cut this together, it almost looks like Kylo Ren is going to kill his mother.
Ah. Yeah.
And you would almost think, because Carrie Fisher has passed away,
yeah,
you know, that maybe this would be an easy way to just, you know, get her out of there so you don't have to worry about filming, because you can't film anything new with her.
No.
But there was also a lot of talk that they had enough footage of her and they had permission from her family that they could still have her in the third film.
Yeah.
And as long as it's right properly, then you can do it.
I had heard at one point that they were not going to kill her character, like that was stated. But you know, there's been true information and there's been false information trickling all over the place with this movie. So who knows?
Yeah. And that's part of the fun, is we really don't know, but we can certainly take guesses. And one thing that really caught my attention in this is, you know, a lot of the first film felt like we were getting Ben Solo, Kylo Ren, his story, as well as Rey's story. Mm-hmm. And it seems we're continuing that. It seems when Ben Solo first encountered Snoke, there was this more than just the Force. There was something special. And Rey, we're kind of getting that also, that there's something a bit more to her, and she doesn't understand her place in the universe. And when we see this little bit where it seems to be the way they cut, and I don't know if this is actually in the same scene or not, but it seems like maybe Rey and Kylo Ren need to join forces, and maybe there's something bigger than this conflict with the First Order going on in the galaxy, that they have to unite together to do something that will really save the galaxy. And it's not going to be that much about the First Order and the Resistance in the end. There's something bigger and deeper going on that we're going to learn about, which apparently the roster, that's what it sounds like he says, scares even Luke. So I'm intrigued.
Now, last year when that news group came out and accidentally showed Rey's last name was being Kenobi, has that been proven false or rumors or what?
That's a big time rumor. There's a lot of people who want her to be somehow related to Obi-Wan, like maybe while he was on Tatooine. Despite living completely alone as a hermit, he somehow had a child.
Yeah, I know. Who knows? Who knows? It's stupid. You get lonely on a Friday night.
Sure.
I don't know. The timeline just doesn't match up with that for me because, you know, Kenobi was dead when Luke was a kid.
Yeah.
Or like a teenager approximately. Yeah. And that's true. I don't know. I mean,
that is a very good point.
It could be a granddaughter.
It could be a granddaughter.
That's the idea. She's like a granddaughter or somewhere within the line. But Ben Kenobi, while being living as a hermit, let's take that word, hermit. Mm-hmm. They even said hermit.
Well, maybe
that means he doesn't come across anybody.
Maybe
nobody knows anything about him. He has hidden himself away. If he does anything to reveal himself, he could get into a lot of trouble and bring the Empire down on Tatooine.
Well, maybe
they might find Luke.
Maybe he wasn't a hermit at first, but then he met the woman that made him become a hermit. We all know that a lady that would do that to somebody, you know?
It's very true.
But he became a hermit to help hide, like Yoda was hiding. He was hiding. So now what my thought would be for Kylo Ren and Rey is, because sometimes they do try to pull some things from the expanded universe books that are no longer canon, is Han and Leia had twins, a son and a daughter. The son went to the dark side. The daughter went to the light side. I am still pretty convinced that Rey is Kylo's twin sister. Kylo probably knows this.
Yeah.
He's not said anything, but that's why he wants her on his side, because he knows who she is. But I suspect using the Force, you can manipulate her memories so she doesn't really remember anything, and maybe she's had some training, but she was abandoned and hoping that her brother and Snoke would not find her, and to where she was also corrupted into the dark side.
Yeah,
and that to me is why perhaps she so quickly caught on to her Force abilities, because she had some training that she had just forgotten, and something just reawakened it inside her.
Well, I also have a theory that's not the same as that, but it's similar. It ties into the expanded universe as well. Whereas, you know, I think that she could be the daughter of Luke and Mara Jade, and perhaps Luke isn't even aware that he has a child, and Mara had to go and hide her for whatever reason, and in the books, you know, Mara is killed by her nephew, which would be a Solo, and I don't know, because if you look on the island at the end of The Force Awakens, you can see a grave where Luke is, or what appears to be a grave.
Yeah, it was a big rumor there too.
But Gary,
is that a gravestone?
Gary, that's wrong, because we all know Mary Jane is from Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, actually, a lot of people also pronounce it Mara Jade, but since she was only in books, it's really hard to know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
So, and if they did bring her in, that would be totally awesome, except for she's already dead if that's the case.
Exactly. So flashbacks is the best we get.
Yeah. So that would actually be really cool to find out, because the look that Luke gives her at the end of The Force Awakens, like, oh, no, it's you, could mean that he knows about Rey in some fashion.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that look was like, oh, I just got $20 million for being in a 5-second cameo.
Plus, like, I keep going back to, I keep going back to the teaser trailer for the first movie where Luke says the Force is strong in my family.
Yeah, I
have it. My sister has it. My father had it, and now you have it, which was not in the movie at all. But that makes it sound like he's speaking to a kin.
That's interesting. Yep. That would be very cool.
And that's what I assume too. I assume that same thing when I first watched The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But that could also just mean, well, you know, hey, it runs strong in my family, but now you have that power. But of course, that line was just lifted from Return of the Jedi to kind of, so it kind of brought that nostalgic feeling back to us old fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of us our age. But it does, and of course, he was saying that to Leia, but it doesn't necessarily mean just because, well, you have that power too, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm relating it to the fact that you're family.
Mm-hmm.
But true. Of course, if she is the twin sister of Ben Solo, then yes, she is Luke's family. And yes, he could say, you have that power because you're part of my family. I am your uncle, you know. Mm-hmm. So that still works. So it's still possible.
They're twisting this very well, just to keep us all guessing.
Exactly. But that's what we do. And you know there are already websites up that have taken every frame of this trailer and dissected and posted screenshot after screenshot of everything. And look at this thing way in the top corner. Here's this little thing. This is clearly this then. So we're going to theorize this thing to death before the film comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at some point we just have to sit back and just relax and enjoy the show, right?
Oh, heck yes. And December 15th, I plan on being there to do just that.
Yeah, it's really funny because last night the internet started slowing down. We weren't watching football, but the internet started slowing down. And my wife was like, I'll bet the tickets are available. And sure enough, they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tickets went on sale on Monday. So I haven't gotten my tickets yet. I need to coordinate my plans with some of my friends to see when we're going to go. But we're definitely got to go that night. I just don't know what theater and what showtime and... But it's got to happen. So there it was, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Which, okay, so quick round table. Who is your guess? Who is The Last Jedi?
Oh, man. I mean, I kind of just assumed it was talking about Luke when it first was announced, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of mirrored that until I saw the trailer, and then I see that Rey seems to have these really strong powers with the Force, so it seems to sort of be pointing in her direction.
Or maybe Yoda had little kids, and there's like little Yoda kids running around.
He was living in isolation on Dagobah.
I'm just saying, maybe
Hermit.
we've all seen Jurassic Park, right? They were able to reproduce without a mate. So just saying,
it's true.
Hey, cloning was made illegal after the Clone Wars. Now. Of course, that may not be canon anymore, but it's still supposed to have been illegal. So, but I'm kind of thinking that Luke is like he is the last Jedi. So when you meet him, he is that the last of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And he does say, well, it's time for the Jedi to end. So it's possible that Rey and Kylo Ren are the beginning of something new. And a lot of people have thought, you know, maybe we're getting into that gray Jedi-ish area where you have to be somewhere in the middle. So we'll see. We don't know.
But, I take back my answer. I think the last Jedi is the Porg.
Hope so.
I hope it is. That would be awesome. There actually have been posters where people have taken. Have you seen the new poster, by the way?
Yeah.
No.
Well, of course Tim has it, but there's a new poster and has Luke kind of as the larger head image, and people have put the Porg's head in place of Luke's with the Jedi robe on.
Jeez.
And I even see where they changed the title to say the last Porg.
So. Wow.
Yep, all right, but I think it's time for us to turn the corner and get into some main content.
Keep a pixie in your pocket. The Neverland Podcast. NeverlandPodcast.com.
Okay, so now that we've brought the Force back amongst us, it's time to get back to our Halloween party. So, I, of course, have brought in, as you have now met, Tim and Gary from Saturday Morning Rewind, which if you haven't been listening to their show, you should check it out because it's fun. But we've brought them in here to share some of their own favorite Halloween party songs. Of course, 20 seconds at a time, which is supposed to get us in trouble, although YouTube still blocked my new video version of the episode with Tubular Bells last week.
Yeah.
So if you were hoping to be able to listen in on YouTube, I'm sorry. It's not my fault. Legally on radio, you can play a 20 to 30 second clip and be fine, but YouTube doesn't like to play by those rules. But that's why we only get to hear 20 to 30 seconds. And I did forget to bring in some links for you could purchase the songs last week on iTunes. I'll try to fix that. And I'll try to remember to do it with what Tim and Gary are going to play us this week. So let's get into some of these lists. And I don't know which one of you wanted to go first, because remember, if you go first, that means you don't get to have the last word for your number one pick. So I'll leave it up to you, because I'm not the one holding the files this time.
Gary, I had you listed first under my soundboard.
Okay. Well, I think that Tim has the better last pick anyway, so I'm going to I'll go first.
Alrighty.
And first up on my list is a little song called Obsession from a group called the Elm Street Group from the year 1987.
And take it away, Tim. Before I play it, I forgot all about this whole thing. It's insane. Wow.
It really is.
All right, here we go. This obsession that you ever be.
So that is from an album called Freddy's Greatest Hits. As I said, the year was 1987, the same year as Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors, which is, you know, pretty much the height of Freddy craze.
Yeah.
And they put out this album of 9 songs, all of them featuring Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger, sung by Stephanie Davey. And it's just like this really eccentric little time capsule from the 80s that I'd recommend anyone check out.
Yeah, this does remind me, actually, when we were doing a promo for UCM's The Beat at my university, we were having this Get the Red Out kind of big festival thing to launch our first home game for the football team, and we were just randomly playing people's songs that we'd uploaded into our system for the radio station, and at one point, the song Dream Warriors actually came on.
And that's a great song, too. It really is.
Yeah, who did that song? Do you know?
I forget. It's sad because I was actually considering it for my list, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, because that's something I should go and download and put in my Halloween collection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think that might be the only Nightmare on Elm Street that I've seen at least most of it. Right. I'm not really into that kind of movie, but that one was kind of cool, you know.
It's definitely the last of the good ones until New Nightmare came out.
Right. Right.
I know.
I love horror movies. I love slasher. I'll talk a little more about that when I pick my picks, but I love them all, and I've seen all the Nightmares at least 10 times each, but they just go straight downhill right after that.
Yeah.
I agree.
And we know you love some Child's Play and some Chucky, because we heard on your show a couple weeks ago.
So. I just interviewed the voice of Chucky, and it's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, and didn't even once ask him about Lord of the Rings. I'm disappointed.
No, I was trying to keep it all Child's Play and the voiceover stuff, and yeah. But he got really deep the last question when he's talking about never doing another bad guy ever again besides Chucky.
And I can understand that, because you play it so often, then after a while you'd be like, you know what, I keep having to go to a dark place to play these characters. Yeah. I want to play somebody nice for once.
But you look at his resume, and I'd say 99% is all horrible bad guys.
Yeah, and he's so good at it. But I can understand the places you have to go to bring out those characters.
Yeah, so go check out the website, SaturdayMorningRewind.com. There you go.
Yep. Tim is a heck of a good plugger, so he's going to say that several times, you know.
Oh, maybe.
So, Tim, what's your number five?
Okay, number five. I'm taking us all the way back. I forget what year it was. I want to say 88, 89-ish, something like that. But it's along the same kind of vein that Gary's pick was. I'll play it real quick, then I'll talk a little bit about it. Every single day, and even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's home when I'm awake, but he shows up when I'm asleep. On my street. I love how they actually sampled the Nightmare on Elm Street theme at the end there.
Yes.
Which they got in trouble for. They actually got in legal trouble for that song because people thought it was official, you know, release of New Line Cinema, and it wasn't. So they got sued, and all they had to do, I think, was put a sticker on the album and say not officiated with, you know, New Line and Nightmare series.
Wow.
I've heard that they actually tried to go to, you know, New Line, and I think New Line was the one who was in charge.
Yeah.
And New Line rejected them. Yeah. But they thought for sure that they would be able to get the song.
I mean, I thought it would, too. Because I think it was the fourth one they wanted to be part of, and that's when it got really cheesy. So that song might be the best part of number four if they put it in there.
Yeah, right.
I think it would have been huge for it. But that's along the same time where, you know, of course, that was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Will Smith.
Oh, yes.
And I guess that might be around the time that they really exploded. So maybe they weren't popular enough to put them on there, but I would have personally done it if I was a producer of the New Line, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street series.
You had to have seen the potential of, because they were new at the time, and I guess you had to see the potential of the quality of the song. And even though I'm not even a fan of rap music, but I know parents just don't understand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, what was the one that had the I Dream of Jeannie sampled into it?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Girls of the World Ain't Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah.
Gary. He knows every bad song there is.
I do. I'm a huge Jazzy Jeff fan.
He's great,
Fresh Prince. I can take or leave him, but no. And then they had the big hit in 91 with Summertime. I think it was 91.
I remember that.
And that was probably the height of their craze right before the show took off.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I'm not a rap fan whatsoever, but they were my introduction into rap, followed by MC Hammer. And so those are the two groups I would listen to that had a rap in it that I still can, you know, somewhat enjoy now.
Yeah, because Fresh Prince, those songs that were released as singles anyway, had a sense of humor. They were funny.
Yeah. So and the videos
I don't know
cool.
what the other songs were like, but those were funny, and that's why I enjoyed them.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go on to our number fours. Well, at least your turn, number fours. No one gets to hear my list until next week.
Aha.
So,
keep
Gary,
them in suspense.
Keep them in suspense.
Yes.
Which was an old radio show, so yeah. Anyway.
My next pick is a little weird. It's a little out of left field. It is a cover of Time Warp. And play the clip. We'll see if you can figure out who does it.
Oh, boy.
Keep your hands on your hips.
Wow.
So the year was 1998, and Alvin and the Chipmunks, Ross Bagdasarian Jr. and Janis Carmine decided to do a song full of alien, or an album full of alien songs called, 90s-ly enough, The A-Files. And this was one of the bigger songs from that, and I just think it's a fun take on the classic song from Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it's performed by the Chipmunks and the Chipettes.
Oh, wow. Of course, we did learn that Better Than the Time Warp is Do the Necronomicon for anyone who was listening last week.
Yeah, yeah. But
right.
That movie is just so non-kid friendly. It's hilarious.
Yes. I watched the movie once. That was enough for me.
Yeah, it's pretty
epic.
I
think the only reason people enjoy that movie is because they make fun of it when they watch it.
That's what made it big.
You can enjoy it just straight watching.
No, that's what really made it big is when they started doing those live, you know, like midnight release, you know, showings where people get dressed in costume and reenact scenes. That's when it really got huge. So I think you're kind of right in a way.
And some of their mimicry of the movie is actually filthier than the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the Rocky Horror Picture Show is the longest running film to ever grace theaters because I don't think it's ever left officially.
That's true.
Yeah, it's probably always playing somewhere.
Yeah.
I know downtown in Raleigh where I live, they play it every Friday night and have the sing along or whatever it is that people do. I've never been, but it's pretty wild.
My goodness. I think they quit doing it in Kansas City a while back, but there might have been some people reviving it every once in a while. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I often think about the same time, like mid to late 90s, whenever the Drew Carey Show did like a shot by shot remake of this particular number.
I remember that.
I don't know if I remember that or not. Wow. But that song will always last no matter who does it. It's going to be one of the things. I should actually have a copy of that song put on my list, my collection. Of course, now I think I got to get the Chipmunk version because I'm curious what other songs they have on that album.
Yeah.
There's some weird ones. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah, because I used to, actually when I was a kid, we had a knockoff Chipmunks album that it was Chipmunks sing Michael Jackson. And they had basically all these Michael Jackson songs that, and it's real easy to mimic a chipmunk voice, you know, with the little speed up that you can do.
Yep.
But the cover, you could clearly see this was not Alvin and the Chipmunks; it was just Chipmunks. And so it had, you know, this one chipmunk was on the front and was wearing the red jacket, you know, from Thriller, stuff like that, or the Beta jacket, which I think is the same jacket in Thriller. But either way, no, I guess it is a different. So I guess it was the Thriller jacket. But yeah, so you had all these different chipmunks dressed in Michael Jackson fashions. And yeah, we had it on vinyl. I kind of wish we still had it because they actually did a few songs outside of Michael Jackson because they even did Rockin' Robin. I don't know if the Jackson 5 ever recorded Rockin' Robin, but that's the first time I'd actually ever heard the song was on this record. So yeah, cheap knockoff of the Chipmunks, but it was fun. I liked it. Okay, well, we've chased that rabbit. Tim, what's your number four?
Well, it's a good little segue here. My number four is a little song by Michael Jackson. You try to scream. So yeah, you said it. The song is Thriller, a great, epic music video. If you haven't seen it, I believe it runs a little over 14 minutes long.
Yeah, it's a short film, really.
It really is, and it's actually directed by John Landis, who has directed many, many great things. One amongst is American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. Of course, he also directed Animal House, Trading Places, Three Amigos, actually, Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop 3, so many good things, and he directed that little 14-minute music video.
Well, we probably shouldn't mention Beverly Hills Cop 3 because that one was kind of the series killer.
That's exactly. That's when it went downhill too. It got way too cheesy and bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Thriller came out in 1984 and was the sixth studio album for Michael Jackson.
Wow. And I remember I saw the short film before I heard the regular album. We bought out the album later, but that short film, because I was, okay, I guess I was seven. That thing terrified the heck out of me.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Like,
The song is great, but like when we bought the vinyl album of it, I would never really play that song because at the beginning when you had the footsteps and the creaking door, scared the crap out of me. I just couldn't deal with it. And then Vincent Price, after he's done with his rap... Yes. He laughs scarily, and you know that I couldn't deal with it at 7 years old.
I have loved Vincent Price since I was like 5 years old. Maybe that's why I just love horror movies, because I would just love his voice. I love his movies, and yeah. So when I heard him in that song, it's epic.
Yeah, see, now to me it's epic, but when I was 7 years old, I was not into scary things.
I was.
Yeah, see, and that's why you're weird. But that's okay.
It is. Explains everything. No, I used to, you know how, I'll keep it kid friendly, but you know how some people used to watch scrambled, you know, images of a, you know, thing to, you know, watch, they're not allowed to watch. I used to do the same thing to horror movies. I used to watch scrambled.
Find a way to watch it scrambled?
Yeah, because we used to kind of get Stars as a kid, or HBO, one of the main movie channels, and it was a little bit scrambled where I could still see maybe 40% of it. I can hear 100% of it. That's how I used to watch horror movies as a kid.
So the over-the-top violence or whatever didn't bother you because you weren't seeing it so much.
Well, no, I was seeing a good amount, but yeah, I enjoyed it as a kid. But then we finally got HBO maybe when I was around 10-ish, and so then I'd go out there and turn on the VCR at nighttime and record all like Friday the 13th movies and that kind of stuff, and then watch it when my parents are gone.
And HBO played them all the time.
All the time.
Yep, overnight horror movies before it became overnight skin flicks.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yep.
And sometimes they're not so different.
No, especially with Friday the 13th Part 5. I was watching the making of, and they actually hired a adult director for that one.
Wow!
And you can definitely see it when you watch it.
Well, okay, I won't be watching it, and the Neverland Podcast cannot officially endorse any of these films.
Nope.
just to get that clarified, just because we talk about it doesn't mean we recommend a Neverland version. As I say many times, just because I've really enjoyed playing Resident Evil 7 doesn't mean that the official Neverland Podcast word on that is go play it.
But really, go play it. I'm telling you, go play it.
No.
Oh, okay. No, we're telling you not to play it, but you can enjoy the fact that we enjoy it.
That's right. That's the Saturday Morning Rewind recommendation. You can find us at SaturdayMorningRewind.com.
Seriously. No. I mean, we had Chucky on as a guest. I don't care.
Yeah. See, yeah, with Neverland, I realize that people bring their children along because you never grow up. So, yeah. We just kind of have to we walk that nice fine line where I can talk to the adults and say, well, I enjoyed playing this game, but I don't give it the official Neverland endorsement.
Yeah.
Just a Jeremy endorsement, but not Spider-Pan endorsement. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Because Resident Evil 7 is awesome. But and that's what's weird about me is I'm not really a fan of like a lot of these modern horror movies. I love the classic ones.
Yeah, me too.
Some of the black and white ones are great. But yet I love these horror video games. And maybe it's the fact that I feel like I have control in the game.
Speaking
so I can fight back.
Speaking of, the Friday the 13th new game that's out is incredible. Incredible. I cannot say enough kind things about it. I am in love with it, and I give it a 5 out of 5. It's great.
But we do not give that to Neverland.
No, don't play it, though. No, seriously, don't play it. And... I don't recommend playing it whatsoever, but just know that I love it.
See, that's the thing is, because I'm not a fan of the thing, but I've seen a lot of video of it on YouTube, and I think I might have fun because of the hide and seek aspect
exactly.
And trying to get away.
Yeah, I don't like playing. I don't like playing
things online though because a lot of people are jerks. If I was playing with my friends only, I think I could handle
that. See, I thought the same thing. I just turn everybody off. I don't hear anybody talk. And so far, I've played maybe like 50 matches. I have had no problems whatsoever.
Because I've seen some video where there actually are people that they'll group up and bring strangers in, and they'll have Jason on their side, and then all the other people will try to set everybody else up for Jason to kill him, and so they'll block you from being able to escape and play the game normally.
I've heard that too, but I think they did some kind of new patch where they made it so if you do that, they can kick you out or something like that. Because I've never seen it.
The part also about that game that also disturbs me is that somebody ends up playing as Jason because. That's horrible.
Yeah. But the cool thing
when
is,
you think about it.
The cool thing is, if you don't want to be Jason, you can have it to where you prefer to be one of the counselors. And so, really, you have a good like 70% chance of being a counselor and 30% chance of being Jason.
Yeah. Well, I'd still rather have the computer in control of Jason because what kind of sick person is going to have fun playing as Jason?
It's hilarious. Okay, so I was playing one time, and when
I
Jason
think that answered the question.
When no, I wasn't Jason. I was a counselor, and when somebody is Jason, you can hear them talk over their microphone if they're nearby you. And he was tearing down the front door with an axe, and all of a sudden I hear it sounded like a 5-year-old voice saying, "I'm coming to kill you." It was hilarious.
Oh, man.
And he did.
I really have
he
room
killed...
to talk. If anybody remembers me talking about my discovery in Lego Harry Potter, how I could go into Hogwarts with a dark wizard and kill everybody and they would stay dead. And I was having fun going around killing all the students.
See? So you're perfect as Jason then. Perfect.
Well, if I ever get a copy of it, I don't know. I have a PS4. I think I can get it on PS4.
Yep,
if I ever get it there, I don't know what you're playing on, though.
I got Xbox One.
Oh, so you're on the wrong system. I can't play with you then.
But if anybody's listening who wants to play with me, my gamer tag is Pondering Pinky. Two words.
I can still friend you on my old 360, but I still can't play with you.
Exactly.
So, well, okay, we should probably move on then to our number 3 picks. So, Gary, what's your number 3?
All right, so Tim was talking about epic music videos earlier. Let's talk about a not-quite-so-epic music video. that still features some of the cast from the movie, and I am talking about Adam's Groove by MC Hammer.
Oh, wait, sorry. That was the wrong one, right?
That's not it.
All right, let's see if it's this one. Hold on. Here we go. Being a friend is showing a little bit of flavor. Like, but Wednesday, Bugsley, Gomez, Fester, man, them some strange neighbors. They do what they want to do, say what they want to say, live how they want to live, play how they want to play, dance how they want to dance, kick and they stumble for the crowd. Yes.
I forgot about that song. That's awesome.
Yeah, so sort of the less popular version of, or I guess the slightly more forgotten version of Tim's earlier pick with Nightmare on My Street.
Yeah.
This is from the Addams Family movie and was on the soundtrack. No, it wasn't on the soundtrack. It only came out as a single in 1991. And the video is pretty wild because it's MC Hammer and his backup crew dancing in various locations around the Addams Mansion, and it features several members from the cast, including Raul Julia, Angelica Houston, Christina Ricci, and more. And I want you guys to know that this song is an award-winning song.
What?
Cool.
Yeah.
No.
It won the Golden Raspberry for the worst song at the 12th Annual Golden Raspberry Awards.
What year did you say this was?
Say what?
What year did you say this was?
1991.
Okay, yeah, so MC Hammer was still at his peak.
Yep.
Yeah, he was.
This was I believe, his last top 10 hit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was about the time that he dropped the MC and was just known as Hammer.
Hammer, yeah, that was right. Around, I think that was around 93, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. It was because the last album I remember him putting out that was big was Too Legit to Quit, and then he just vanished or something.
And I loved that album, by the way. Loved it.
My mom actually bought that album.
My parents bought it for me because I asked for it. I was obsessed with it.
The fact that mothers were buying that album might say something about why MC Hammer didn't last in the hip-hop scene. But
I did like that his lyrics were completely clean. And exactly. You could listen to it. I mean,
he's got the song Pray. You know, you got to pray mm-hmm. to make it today.
So I still love the Hammer.
I think whenever he dropped the MC prefix, I think he actually did put out like
he tried to go darker. He tried to go more
hardcore rap album.
I don't know if it had language in it or not, but it was definitely heavier.
Yeah. And then shortly thereafter, he actually became a preacher.
Yeah,
because I was turning through the TV or flipping through the channels one night and saw a preacher on one of the religious networks, and I was like, "That looks like MC Hammer." And sure enough, it was.
And now he's selling like the adhesive stuff for the wall.
Yeah, I love those commercials.
I do too.
Yep.
I am so the dad in those commercials when the kids like, "Who is this?" I'm like, "That's MC Hammer."
I would be that dad too, except for I have no children, so
sad. Right.
I understand. So with that note, I think we better move on to your number three.
Okay, my number three actually just changed 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes ago, right before we started recording, so I don't have much information on it. I just know that the song came out when I was in college in 98 and I loved it, and it's very fitting for the Halloween time, especially of like a horror genre. And actually it was used for the beginning song of The Bride of Chucky. So here is that song.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
So that would be Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie.
It's about time Rob Zombie showed up on this list. How can you have a Halloween music without something by Rob Zombie?
I have to say, I hate his movies. I don't think he's a good director, but it's not for me. But I was obsessed with his music when I was, you know, a late teenager, early 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dracula was almost on my list.
Yeah, that's another good one, yeah.
Yeah, I thought about putting it on my list as well. Because that's still probably the best song. Plus, the Dracula being the monster's car, I love the fact that he did that.
Yeah. No, he's very talented. Even his movies, but they're just not for me. But, you know, I can appreciate his music at least.
Yep.
Yeah, he's very excessive on gore and stuff like that. And that's kind of why I get away from a lot of modern horror movies. Yeah. I'm not into gory movies. I want story.
Exactly. Make your story that's why I enjoy the cheesy slasher movies from the 80s. But, yeah, I'm right. I'm with you. I have not enjoyed a good horror movie maybe since, like, The Scream. Since mid-90s.
Mm. Yeah, I did watch that one because it was making fun of the genre. That was funny.
Yeah, I love Scream.
Yeah. The only other ones I think of recent that I did enjoy, and I was actually just having this conversation with one of my writers, my Uber writers today, but I did see, I think, the second half of The Lady in Black.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, actually. I enjoyed that one.
I want to see all of it, but seeing the ending, and Heather didn't like the ending, but a good ghost story like that, the ending doesn't have to be happy.
Yeah, and as a parent, I can see the way that, you know, why they went with that ending, you know? I thought it was very fitting.
Yeah, I don't want to say what's the ending, but it is a nice reunion at the end.
Yeah, no, I enjoy that movie. I forgot about it. It's more of a thriller, I think, than a horror movie.
Yeah, but it's a scary ghost story, and that's the type of movies I like. I like good scary ghost stories that are not overly gory. I mean, I've seen it edited, but I know the original John Carpenter Halloween, there is no blood or anything.
Exactly. No, it's great.
And he showed you can make a good scary type movie. You don't have to be excessive in blood. Blood does not make something scary. It just makes it gross.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So Alfred Hitchcock did it best.
Yeah.
He could scare you, and he never really did anything gory.
Exactly.
I mean, Psycho, you never see that knife plunge into her body, but you think you do.
Yep.
You know,
right.
Yep. He just shows you enough to scare you, you know. It's good stuff. Anyways, so yeah, there's another rabbit I could chase for a while. Well, it's probably just a sign we'll probably move on to our number two picks. So, Gary, hit us.
Well, not really. Right. All right. So, I'm going pretty old school with this one. And this is not typically a song that's associated with Halloween by a lot of people, I guess, but it's Swan Lake by Tchaikovsky.
What?
So, I picked this one because it was the opening credits of Dracula from 1931.
Yes.
The one starring Bela Lugosi. And it's sort of a modified version of the Swan theme from Act 2 of Tchaikovsky's original piece. And it was later used in the credits for The Mummy in 1932, and it's often used as a backing track for Phantom of the Opera.
Oh,
nice. The silent version of that.
Oh, well done, Gary.
I know. Deep. Look at you.
You just won this episode.
You went from MC Hammer to classical music. Good for you.
And I actually had a good reason. I didn't think of that because, I actually just a couple weeks ago was watching the Bela Lugosi Dracula on Turner Classic Movies, and I do love it. It's great. But I hadn't thought of it. That's right. It was the opening credits. Oh.
Yes, and I was watching Bride of Frankenstein the other night, and I was like, it has a piece that's very similar to the Dracula theme. And I was like, huh, that would be a perfect pick for this podcast.
Yes, it would. My goodness. Because I would have, I automatically would have thought something like Bald Mountain.
Yeah,
or,
right. Yeah, no, that was my...
Or what is it? Is it Toccata? That's the... Somebody will correct me. I probably got the name of it wrong. I think it's the Toccata and Fugue, but it's probably wrong. So I'm not good at classical music.
Well, there's so much, it's hard to know it all. I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. But there are some great classicals that can be scary, played right.
Yeah, I tried to get really smart about it whenever I was younger, and I only got like maybe 2% of the way into it before I got distracted.
But oh, that is digging deep, and especially the surprising because you could say it from Swan Lake, and I was like, what?
Yeah, you know that horror movie, Swan Lake.
Oh, yeah. And then suddenly it's like, oh, Dracula. Oh, hey. So, wow. Okay, I'm impressed. That's a direction I did not really think of, but that is very cool. So,
well, thank you.
All right, Tim, you got a big one to live up to now.
Yeah, mine's pretty predictable, if you know me, especially since I was, spent 5 minutes talking about the video game. But I picked a little musical score from Friday the 13th.
Hmm.
It's got a lot of classical sounds to it as well. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. The funny thing is that when I was collecting some more Halloween music for this year, I found a couple of CDs at the library, and I was making some copies because that's what I do sometimes. But I found like two different CDs had music they claimed to be from Friday the 13th, and one was what you just played. The other, actually, did you play the NES game of Friday the 13th?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. You remember that piano music?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in the movie whatsoever.
Nowhere in the film, but actually that's what the other Friday the 13th theme was. It was that somebody actually playing that on piano, which I actually got a kick out of because I had the NES game.
Yeah, no, it's a bad game, but it's fun to talk about. No,
it's a time waster at least.
It is a time waster. And
there's enough love of it that in the newer Friday the 13th game, you actually have a costume modification where you can make Jason look like the old NES.
Yep. And when he walks around, so that game. Oh, here I go talking about the game again, but. When Jason gets nearby, that song kind of kicks in, the classical Friday song. But if you choose the skin of the NES Jason, it's like an NES sound, and it's amazing. First time I played, it's like, what is that? And then you see like a purple looking Jason coming after you. It's hilarious.
Then it start going doo 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 doo, or something like that, or what?
I don't remember. I've only played. Somebody was playing with it one time because it's kind of a stupid thing to do. Because really, you can see Jason a lot better if he's purple. So I don't get to play as him. But the cool thing, okay. So back to the song. The cool thing is, you know the classical part where you're Q, 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 Ma, Pa, Pa. You know that part there?
That one. Yeah.
Yep. People don't know what they're actually saying, but the composer, he was watching the movie when the first one was done. And Mrs. Voorhees, who is the killer in the first one, spoiler alert, there's a scene where they zoom up on her lips. and she's pretending to be Jason talking to her. So she's saying, kill him, mama. And so he saw that, and he took the kill, the K from that, and the ma, and he did ma, and put it into like this echo machine thing, and it created that whole sound that we hear.
Huh. See, very I always thought cool. It was going kill, 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 ha, ha, ha.
No.
Huh. A weird fact you never thought you'd hear listening to the Neverland podcast.
There you go. But no, I'm in love with the Friday the 13th movies. As a whole, as a horror franchise, it's my favorite franchise because I think even though a lot of the sequels are stupid, they're a lot more enjoyable than the Freddy sequels and the Halloween sequels as a whole. So I love those movies.
Yeah, I just like the joke they make about him in Monster Squad. It's like, if they went and dissected all his pieces and sent them all to foreign countries, he'd still come back. Oh yeah, they already did that in Part 7. That is Jason to me.
Yeah.
It's like, why can they not kill the... You know, they do some major thing to kill him, but he always comes back no matter what you do.
Well, that's
where it would lose me, I think.
It's because the writers of every single one beyond number 4, they wrote it as the last one. And so they made more money off of it, and the I guess it was Paramount at the time was like, "Hey, we're making money. Go write another script." And so they'd hire another writer to kind of fix how the last one ended, so to make it as if he just comes back. So every writer has tried to kill Jason off 100% permanently, but it's never going to happen because they make money.
Yeah, especially since he was supposed to have died as a child anyway. Yeah.
Well, the writer of the first one, he thought it was so stupid to have Jason even in the second one because he's like, my Jason is dead. That was a dream. Yeah. The writers actually come out and said that. That was a dream. He is not alive.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, and then, you know, I remember hearing rumors when I was a kid that their goal was to make 13 of them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And they're one short right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And actually, it just got canned. So I'm hoping it just got canned because they want a better script. That's what I'm hoping.
Oh, my. Well, maybe the game is your 13th one, although I guess it's going back and you can play different years in this new game. So.
Yep.
Yeah, never thought I'd be discussing this game on my Disney show. We haven't mentioned Disney once. I'm sorry. We're killing my core audience. But, hey, I warn everybody in this show that I sometimes break away. And last week I did tell everybody, all y'all listening, that, you know, during this month, the rules kind of go out the window a little bit. So I promise some Disney content is coming next week, though.
No.
Yes. It's coming. We will be mailing Jason's parts to various countries. It will take him at least a year before he gets himself put back together.
Okay.
He keeps going back like a Terminator 2000 or a T-1000, either way. Well, now that we've gotten to other weird places, let's get back to is it time for our number one picks?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And as I said last week, I feel like I should have prepared a fanfare there for this. So let's go. Da 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 da. Ha ha ha. Mama, mama, mama. Okay. Or kill, whatever. I already got it wrong. All right, Gary, what's your number one?
Well, sticking with movies that aren't necessarily appropriate for your podcast, I picked the theme from The Lost Boys.
And, okay, before I play this, thank you, Gary, because I forgot all about the song, and I am in love with it again.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. Here we go.
So that song, go ahead.
I was about to say, I have to confess something. I have never seen that movie.
Wow.
I've heard the song, though. I recognized
it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, this is, well, it's a very widely covered song, I believe. Like, a lot of bands have done it at one point or another. But yeah, it's by Gerard McCann. And I believe he was the film composer for the score, but I could be wrong. Huh. I know he did several songs for the soundtrack, though. And it's kind of fitting because I started this with a song from 1987 and I'm ending my list with a song from 1987.
Nice rounded package.
I did not plan to do that, but hey, it works out.
Yeah, and I know that movie's a really like a cult classic hit type of thing, but I don't know, I just never got around to seeing it. I don't know why I never saw it, I just haven't.
Well, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I don't think it's too R-rated. Maybe just so, for some language and stuff. Yeah. But
Well, heck, the 80s R is now like the modern-day PG-13.
Yeah.
It's kind of true.
Because now when they want an R rating, they have to go as far as they possibly can, and unnecessarily so. Like, Blade Runner 2049, that had a lot of unnecessary things to push it R. I'm not going to get into what they did, but it was enough to where Heather was furious coming out of that movie. She's like, why did they even have to do this repeatedly? And, yeah. This is a movie I can't talk about on the podcast, even though I would have. I normally review things, but yeah, I was like, that was an R film, and so I can't discuss it.
Huh. Wait Let's for the TV edit.
Yeah, you know what? It's a near 3-hour movie. If you edited the stuff that's unnecessary and cut it for time, because the story is good, but you could make a 2-hour movie out of it real easy.
Yeah,
and it would be a good movie because I mean the story is good, but. It's really elongated, stretched out, and there's a lot of unnecessary things that don't even make sense. There's things put into the movie just to make sure they got an R rating.
Right.
Really. That's the only excuse I think they have for the level that they go to of stuff that I'm not going to say. So I chased another rabbit again. Maybe we should get back and see what Tim's number one is.
Yeah. Well, let's stick with the theme and talk about another rated R movie then.
And this is kind of the perfect Halloween song.
Exactly. And like you talked about, it didn't have that much blood. Of course, it had violence and language and nudity in there. But here
like
is...
Like another movie I just recently talked about that was excessive about.
Uh-huh. So here is my pick for my favorite Halloween song. And it's kind of obvious. Here it is. So I think John Carpenter, which is the director of all the Halloween movie, the first, I think, one? Did he direct number two? I forget. Anyways, he is a genius because I am in love with John Carpenter. He actually composed the music you just heard as well, and he composed most of the music that you hear in his movies. Like, if you go back and listen to The Thing, that's him composing it. Fog, I think even, Escape from New York, he composed all that music, and I think he is a genius behind the camera and behind the keyboard and synthesizer.
Is he going to be the one making this remake that apparently has not been stopped for Big Trouble in Little China?
I know. No, he's not involved in that.
Yeah, without him doing it, you know it's not going to be
exactly,
good.
Exactly. Yeah, no.
Even with The Rock in there, but The Rock is not Kurt Russell.
No. But Halloween for me, I've loved it since I was a kid. I mean, like I told you, I probably saw this when I was 8, maybe 9 or something like that. And that song... It's just perfect, and that's how it opens up the movie, is that song there. It's iconic when you think of Halloween.
Yeah. And that is one thing I got to give some credit to that movie, is most of the movie, at least an hour and a half, nothing happens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that building, and you that corner of the eye bit where you see just a little bit, of like a glimpse, like, was there somebody standing over there? Just that hint that something bad is going to happen. But nobody gets killed until that last half hour. And then it's like a rampage for the last half hour.
And most people don't know this, but it was really a small, low-budget, like, independent film. They hardly, they didn't even make money. It wasn't even popular the first 2 weeks it was in the theater until somebody wrote a review about it, and then it became huge. But do you know the story about the mask?
Yes, William Shatner mask.
Yeah, so they were so cheap, they just went to the store and grabbed a William Shatner mask and spray painted it white and added the hair. And that's what you see on the screen.
Well, I think the hair actually was there, but they messed with the
hair.
They changed it.
They took away the sideburns, that kind of stuff. Yeah, they changed
it. Yeah. Which is still funny. And, of course, we cannot give it a full Neverland endorsement, but I have seen it, and I was all with it when the edited version, except for after he got stabbed through the eye with a hanger and fell out of a window after being shot and still got up and walked away.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's when I was like, oh, come on.
He gets blown up at the end of the cycle. When he comes back, he's fine.
I can't get into the ones when there's no reason for them to have any supernatural power, but they somehow or another come back to life after you've done horrible things to them.
Yeah. A funny thing about that song is my friend Sarah, I was living in Fargo, North Dakota at the time, and I think I was about 21, 22. She was terrified of Halloween and the whole spookiness of, you know, the costumes and everything. And for some reason, she was really spooked. And she's like, Tim, I'm going to put you on speakerphone while I take a shower. You know, I'm scared. So I was on speakerphone for maybe 30 seconds, and then I started playing that song, and she started screaming, and she turned the phone off. Of course, then...
You're so mean.
Well, actually, no, before she turned the phone off, I started playing the Psycho music.
Oh, that's so mean.
Sorry, Sarah.
Are you still friends with her at all?
I am.
Amazing. Yeah, well, there was one time... Okay, I'm going to share a little story. I was... trying to ask my wife a question, and I was holding I had been combing my hair, so I was holding my comb kind of up, and I went and I opened the shower curtain to ask her a question and scared her half to death because all she saw was the shape of somebody with something held over his head, and it was terrible. I reduced her to tears. I felt awful. This is my poor wife, and she's still married to me, so but I felt so bad. I was like, I wasn't trying to scare you, I'm sorry. Because I have pranked her in the shower. I'll turn the lights out on her sometimes, you know. And I used to have this little like strobe light kind of flash gun that you would cock it and turn it on, and you would hear the sound like an old flashbulb from an old camera, because that's what it had. And then when you pulled the trigger, of course, it would poof like a flashbulb. And so I would go through and I'd charge it up. I'd go into the bathroom, to make sure it's completely dark. I'd turn the light out, and then I'd pop that flashbulb just to mess with her. So I'm nice. Awful, but I have never played the Psycho music on somebody who I knew was already scared.
Oh, but it's so great. It's so great.
That's so mean. No, how old were you at the time?
I was 21, 22, and she was probably 20.
So that would be that weird, I guess you're slightly almost past your hormonal teenage years, really. But I'd be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm talking to a naked girl. You know? That's where your brain would have been.
Yeah, probably.
Well, where it normally would have been, but you're a little warped. I think we learned that today.
Yes, I am.
Because Wolverine. And if you don't get that joke, you need to be listening to the Mighty Marvel Tooncast.
Right.
Which is another show that Tim and I do, because, hey, it's time to... Oh, wait. No, does Gary still have one last song? Or does that everybody? No, I guess we've got everybody.
Yes, we
did.
That's it.
Oh, my gosh. Hopefully everybody has stuck with us, because this was as far as non-Disney as we could possibly have gone this week. So, which is fine, because that's what I do on this show. Sometimes we do break away, but wow, my goodness, I think that we've talked more horror movies than I have in a long time. So this was definitely fun. So definitely check out Tim and Gary. You can find on Saturday Morning Rewind, where they're going to talk all kinds of different cartoons. They're going to have some voice actors come in to talk about some old cartoons. They even started doing a Video Game Rewind where it's Tim, and occasionally you get to hear Gary, but there's another fella that comes in to talk some classic video games. It's a heck of a lot of fun. And of course, you can also hear Tim with me on Mighty Marvel Tooncast, which we are working on getting an episode of The Hulk, which we recorded a few weeks ago, and Tim, I don't think, has gotten a chance to edit it yet.
Nope, not yet.
But it's coming. We're going to talk about the Hulk. That's definitely a lot of fun doing that show. You can definitely check them both out here and there. And I promise we won't talk about any more scary things except for Wolverine and the Hulk. Because Wolverine, you know, he can be scary if you're on the wrong side of him.
This is true.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Yay! sorry. I had to do it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.